Perhaps you've heard the story of the woman who just 3 days before Christmas suddenly remembered that she had yet to send out any Christmas cards, which had always been her custom. Without a moment's hesitation, she hastily arranged a select list of all those business associates, family members, friends, and others to whom she wished to extend season's greetings, and hurried down to the nearest store. Sprinting through the almost depleted Christmas section, she finally located a box of cards picturing the peaceful serenity of a Bethlehem stable and bought it immediately. In almost a flurry of panic, she raced home to address and stamp each envelope, thrust a Christmas card and her business card into each envelope, rushed to the nearest mailbox, and minutes later found herself again at home. A relaxed smile slowly crossed her face and began to soften her exhausted expression, and with a silent nod of approval, she secretly congratulated herself for having completed the chore with such efficiency. As she sat there nursing a cup of coffee, however, she noticed a few remaining cards still in the box and realized that in all the hectic confusion, she hadn't actually bothered to read any of them. So she opened one and was shocked to find that the cards consisted of but one line. "This simple note is just to say, a little gift is on the way." Well, those weren't exactly her intentions. And yet, it seems that the message of that card does indeed echo the equally unexpected announcement on a holy and silent night many years ago. On that night, my friends, God reached out to us with outstretched hands and gave us a most unanticipated gift: God's own self. What we celebrate on Christmas Eve is the arrival of one we call Emmanuel, the God who is with us. In ways we will never fully comprehend, this little baby is with us because he's made of exactly the same stuff as we are, and also the same stuff as God is, and he would never let go of either. With outstretched hands, he held on to both so that he could bring the both together. That is the message we proclaim this night. And if it doesn't strike you as rather shocking, maybe in fact a little bit scandalous, then chances are you have not heard the message for what it really is. As one minister put it, the high and lofty one deliberately chose to become lowly and helpless. The eternal and infinite one deliberately chose the constraints of time and flesh. The God of mercy was willing to be put at our mercy. It may be why Madeline Lingle said that her biggest problem with Christmas is God. She wrote, "Cribbed, cabined, and confined with the contours of a human infant, the infinite defined by the finite, the creator of all life, thirsty and hungry. Why would God do such a thing?" she asked. Why indeed? If not for God's great love that moved God to enter our world and become one of us. Yes, Christians assert God is with us, even in the worst of times, even in the most unimaginable of conditions, God is still present. As the Apostle Paul puts it in one of his letters, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. That is the good news we declare to the world tonight. And what is both good and new about it is the incredible claim that in Jesus Christ we encounter this grace in person. Emmanuel means God with us, not God up there somewhere. Jesus is not a Christmas card from God that says, "Gee, wishing I was there with you." No, Jesus is God's way of saying, "I chose to make your home my own, your place my place. I choose to make your room my room." In a way, it reminds me of an experience my wife and I had with our daughter Lori when she was an infant. On a Saturday night, nearly 30 years ago, Lori, now the mother of an infant herself, was sick with an ear infection, and she simply could not go to sleep. She was fine as long as we held her in our arms, but as soon as we laid her down, she would start screaming. And my wife Roberta and I tried everything we could to get little Lori to go to sleep, but to no success. We took turns holding her, rocking her, singing to her. I was still working on Sunday's sermon that Saturday night. I still do. And at one point, I even preached to her my half-finished sermon that night. Hey, I figured if it puts folks to sleep on Sunday morning, it ought to do the trick on Saturday night. But it was still to no avail. I sat at my desk and again tried to write, and after a long time, I realized that the house had grown quiet. I was amazed and thought to myself, how has Roberta gotten her to be so quiet? I've got to see this. And so I tiptoed back to the nursery to witness the miracle firsthand. What I discovered is that Roberta had crawled beside Lori's crib on a makeshift egg carton mattress in Lori's room. In effect, she decided to make our child's room her own. And as I watched the two of them, I realized that's not a bad image for Christmas. On a silent and holy night long ago, God came down from heaven and crawled into our homes, into our rooms even. Only in this case, God took the unique step of actually becoming the child in that room. And by becoming a baby, God did more than simply room with us, make a home among us. God also placed a claim upon us. As a new grandfather, and I knew I'd work that in somehow tonight, I'm reminded again that when you cradle a baby in your arms, you have an idea of what God is getting at. There's nothing quite so vulnerable and so utterly dependent as an infant, which is precisely why an infant summons something forth from us. During the first days and months, as a baby begins to take in all the sights and sounds of life, we can't help but be taken in too. A response is demanded. A deep commitment is called forth from us. This tiny, helpless child is reaching out to us with outstretched hands for comfort and protection, and above all else, for love. With outstretched hands. My friends, as I think about it, that's a good portrayal of Emmanuel. In fact, when I think about it, it's at the heart of all of Jesus' ministry. With outstretched hands, He welcomed the little children, embraced them when the disciples wanted to send them away. And He said, "Let the little children come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And He welcomes your children and all children, even today. With outstretched hands, He reached out to touch the untouchables, the lepers, healing them, to touch the deeply troubled, casting out the demons from them, to touch the blind and the lame, giving them sight and mobility. And through Christians like you and me and trained physicians, God in Christ is still willing health and wholeness for all. With outstretched hands, Jesus taught the crowds about God's kingdom and God's love, telling the people about a God who is like a shepherd reaching out to rescue the lost sheep. A God who is like a woman reaching down to find a lost coin and so happy she throws a huge party to celebrate. A God who is like a father who runs to hug and hold that long lost son before the son can even begin his repentant speech, welcoming him home. Just as He welcomes each and every alienated, estranged human being home. With outstretched hands, our Lord Jesus, in the supreme act of love, allowed those hands to be stretched out on the wood of a cross for us and our salvation. And finally, with outstretched hands, this same Jesus was raised by God's power from the dead and ascended into heaven, where He reigns forever and ever, and still, through the Spirit, is Emmanuel, God with us, tonight, now, tomorrow, and beyond. But tonight, my friends, is when it all began, with that unexpected gift, the baby Jesus in a manger, the one who with outstretched hands beckons us to draw near tonight, to let Him make His home with you and me. Yes, we know that with outstretched hands, God in Christ reaches out to us in love, grace, mercy, and peace. Embrace Him, please. Amen. And in gratitude for this marvelous, incomprehensible, ultimate gift, let us worship our good God with our offering.